Okay, the meeting is live.
All right, are we ready to call to order then?
We are.
Great. So we're on our agenda. The first thing we have on our agenda was to approve the minutes from August 12th and January 28th. Has everybody had a chance to look those over?
I move that we approve the minutes from the two meetings you just mentioned.
And I second.
I third.
Are we all approve?
I we approve.
Any nays?
No.
Nope. All right. So a bunch of things on our list to do here today, but the part number one, I think, was try to get our bylaws taken care of, which we had discussed before.
Yes, I do have, let me share my screen here. I pulled up a bunch of windows, obviously, when I was, I'm trying to figure out where it went. Sorry. I was prepared. And then I had to add somebody to the attendee list. So, oh, here we go. Not that. Sorry, guys. Technical.
Would you want me to?
We've been there.
Share my screen.
Yeah, can you? For some reason, I'm having trouble.
Sure. Oh, it's saying I can't do it.
Oh, it's saying you can't do it. Okay. I'll do it. I'll figure it out.
Nothing like, you know, having to figure it out with a dozen eyes on you.
I know, right?
Yeah, it's so, so fun.
Okay, so here's the, oops, that's the wrong thing. Okay. Nope, that's the wrong thing too. Sorry, I'm probably making you guys all dizzy here. Okay, so here, can you guys see my screen now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So last at the last meeting, there was some discussion about, you know, a few things that y'all wanted to bring back. And one of the things was to a way to ensure that if someone wanted to extend their after two terms, how could that happen? And so we did put into the bylaws that if with no member serving more than two consecutive terms, unless a quorum of the committee approves an extension. Okay. So you could see that in a case like, you know, maybe if somebody decided they wanted to extend, if nobody else applied for the committee, then, you know, the RDAC committee could approve that or discuss that or consider that. Yeah. So that was the first one. The next one. Oh, there was discussion about what our process is as far as what someone has to do to actually apply for the RDAC committee and kind of how that's vetted. So basically, we have the same requirements as far as what a city commission would have, except for instead of the mayor approving the appointment, it's approved by the commission chair. So the same application that someone would apply for city commissions, that they would use that same application. And then the application would go to the city recorder. So it goes to the city recorder records it, and then it comes to, it would come to staff. And we would hold those. And then once the deadline closes, we would bring those to the chair of the RDAC committee for consideration and kind of like a process on how we're going to do that. And once we make a recommendation on the committee or the committee member, that would go to the chair of the Parks Commission. And then acknowledgement by the Parks and Recreation Commission at a meeting. So that's kind of how that process works. We didn't put it in the bylaws because most bylaws within the city don't have that piece included. So it's just a matter of us following the same requirements as the other city commissions. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Does anybody have any questions about that?
Oh, Rachel, I just wanted to point out, I assume we modeled this after the Senior Advisory Committee, but the sub header, that margin there, still says the Senior Advisory
Committee. Oh, shoot. Okay, well, we can approve with that change, too, today. Okay. Sorry about that.
No worries. I do it all the time in my courses.
Good catch, though. The other thing is that the initial term end dates. So basically what we decided to do is include in the bylaws just a generic RDAC term end dates with just the representation, so how it's structured with the program participants versus community partners, right, and when their appointment dates are and their current term expires. We're going to keep a roster out separate from the bylaws so that we don't have to change the bylaws every time someone comes on or off of the committee, the subcommittee,
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So we did that, and these are the term dates. So we kind of tried to stagger some going out in 2022, some March of 2023, September and March was what we heard when we met the last time.
Yep.
So that's what we're looking at this point. Risa.
Yeah, I have a question that just occurred to me. It hadn't occurred to me before because we're going through a similar thing on the Conservation and Climate Outreach Commission is about youth community members, whether or not a student from high school, let's say, can participate, and if they are a voting member, you know, like, I don't know if we've covered that, but that in an ideal world, I would love that we would have at least one representation from younger members of our community, because they are very likely to be involved also in parks with different lenses.
Absolutely. I think that could be definitely considered, and I don't know if there's an age limit for commissions. I'd have to look at that. I don't believe so, but I can double check. And that's something that we could consider, because we do have, if you notice, on our bylaws, we do have a vacancy. And I would consider a student member of RDAC to be a program participant or a future program participant. So I think that could definitely qualify.
Well, with the city, the part that we haven't gotten clarification yet in is if the high school student that now serves on our commission, if she's a voting member. I'm just letting you know, maybe when they figure it out at the city, it could just be relevant for other committees and commissions in the city, but I have no clue.
Okay, yeah, we'll definitely look into that as we move forward. I know on our agenda, we do have the very last topic today is recruitment of RDAC members. So maybe that's something that that we can talk about during that time as well, because we do need to do some recruitment.
Great, thanks.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, so then are there any other questions about the bylaws? And any more input?
So what we would be looking for is a motion. Motion to approve the bylaws with the change of the footer to RDAC instead of Ashland Senior Advisory Committee.
Okay. I move to approve the bylaws with the change of the footer.
And do we have a second?
Looks like Risa.
I'll second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Great.
Great.
Then can we move on to the next item on the agenda, which is our organizational chart for Ashland Parks?
Yes. Okay. And at one of the past meetings, I'm going to stop sharing. Actually, no, I don't think I need. Yeah, I probably don't need to stop sharing. Let me pull up the org chart here. And people were interested in how the org chart works and, you know, who's where and who does what. So I just thought I would share the org chart. Can you all see my screen?
We still see the bylaws.
Oh, you do. Okay. Stop share. And let me start again. Is that better?
Yep.
Yes.
Yay. Okay. So I'm going to scroll around here and just give you a little Reader's Digest version. We don't have too much time to spend on this, but if you look at the top, you see the director and then the deputy director and then the administration staff. So Michael Black's the director. I'm the deputy director. And then our administrative staff that kind of supports those five positions kind of support the entire organization. So we have our executive analyst who does lots of promotions. She does our program guide. She does policy work, things like that. We also have the administrative analyst, which is Tara Keywell. She's our budget. She does all of our budget work. Mm. And then Sean Sullivan, who's the business manager for the department and oversees, because the park superintendent position went away in the last biennium, that position was laid off.
Rachel.
The park superintendent position went
away. That was Mike Oxendine.
Yeah, and that was that went away. That position was laid off due to budget. And so Sean does a lot. Michael Black, our director, is basically the park superintendent. He's kind of playing dual roles. So the business manager for the department, Sean Sullivan, kind of helps him, you know, stay organized and work with the supervisors for the parks division. So that's the upper echelon. That's the admin stuff. And then if you go over here, we have three divisions. So we have the open space and outer parks division supervisor, and then that position oversees like all of our parks properties, so open space, things like that, trails, that division also works really closely with the fire department for burning and things like that in the winter. So the open space and outer park supervisor is Jason Minica, and then we have various positions underneath there. That position also oversees, that division also oversees the maintenance at the golf course. So oversees the two positions that are there on site at the golf course. The next division is the parks maintenance supervisor for the Eastern Division. So that's Wes Casale. And the Eastern Division are parks like Clay Street Park. If we ever develop East Main Park, it would include East Main Park. It would include North Mountain Park. So all of our field users at North Mountain Park. So that position oversees those park areas. And then we have our Western Division Supervisor, which is Bill Miller. And Bill Miller oversees anything on the west side of town. So Lithia Park, the bigger park, obviously Lithia Park and Briscoe Park / school, Ashland Creek Park, things like that. And this position also oversees our irrigation. So any irrigation issues that happen anywhere, in any of our parks, those two positions that we have are kind of working in conjunction with the supervisors to, you know, triage irrigation issues and things like that. So those are the three parks.
Can I ask a question, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
How does parks distinguish between something that's called open space and something that's called a park? At what point does it move?
Open space is anything that's undeveloped. So let's see, let me get it. The strawberry, hauled strawberry park that's been developed above.
Riverwalk.
Yeah, that's the open space area. Mm-hmm. The TID, like the ditch trail area.
Right. I don't understand because, like, what constitutes development? I mean, a trail?
A developed park.
But with
infrastructure.
Like concrete.
Infrastructure.
Like, you have to put a building on it. You can't have a park without a building on it?
No. Some of our properties are called open space instead of parks because it's not a quote-unquote park. I don't know if Jim has a better answer here.
I think it's a semantics thing. There's a very fine line. I don't think there's an exact thing. You know, parks tend to have children's play areas and some kind of development on them, not just a trail.
Right.
So I think that would be the definitive one, just like called strawberry.
Or Connell.
No structure on it, but it's called a park, but it's really just a semantics thing. We're all under the one umbrella of parks. It's just, nothing.
There's nothing no parking lot.
Yeah,
there's a parking lot if there's a park.
And Railroad Park has no parking lot. So that's the parking lot commission we want to talk to.
It's a little bit arbitrary, but it serves a conceptual purpose, I think, just for kind of understanding the way the work is organized as much as anything else.
Yeah. Okay. And now moving on to recreation, we have our recreation division, the recreation division includes the nature center and the ice rink and the pool and all of our general recreation classes. So, and also our volunteer and parks program. So our recreation manager, Lonnie Flora, and then we have our volunteer and special events coordinator, Suleiman Shelton, who not only oversees all of our volunteer program, but also guides on Parks End, guides our special events, not only city special events that happen, so somebody who submits an application to the city or to parks for a special event, but also is integral involved in some of our other special events within Parks and Recreation. And then we have an office assistant position, Haley Fosnot, who I don't think she's on the call anymore. And then we have our Nature Center, which includes Libby Van Wy, who's the manager, and Jen Aguayo, who is the Nature Center coordinator. And during the last biennium, when COVID hit, we did lay off three positions, and we had two office assistant positions that we had to lay off at the Grove, and we had one office assistant position at the Nature Center that we had to lay off. Haley Fosnot, who's the current office assistant, was moved from another division to help out once kind of we got our bearings during COVID. So she was already working within the department, and so we repurposed her as an office assistant within our department. Mm-hmm. And then underneath recreation, we do have, you know, temp employees, depending on the time of year. Obviously, we're hiring right now for the ice rink, and in the summertime, we hire for the pool. We also did have temps at the Nature Center, but right now, because of COVID, because of budget cuts, we did have to cut back on the school programs with the temp program that was utilized for those programs. Risa.
Well, I'm sorry, I'm very easily confused, obviously, but it's difficult for me to really wrap my mind around all these different ways of differentiating the different areas, because in my mind, it's so much grayer than it looks in these little boxes, because like North Mountain Park is a park. It has a building on it, but most of the space there is park space. And, you know, it's semi-wild, you know, it's like a little, our little mini nature preserve. Mm-hmm. And that's, so it's like,
can I throw something?
I don't get it.
Can I throw something in there that made it clear for me? Which is that all the green areas over there, those green employees versus the pink employees on this chart, that the green employees are responsible for taking care of the land, and the pink employees roughly are responsible for taking care of the participants. So scheduling or classes. And as Libby was saying last time, her job is really split because, like you said, it's a park plus all that. But, mm-hmm. but that, is that accurate that the recreation department, who we're supposed to be advising, takes care of the interactions with the people, the participants people. For scheduling and classes and stuff like that, where the green folks over there are taking care of whether things get weeded and mown and irrigation and stuff like that?
Yes. And the Nature Center would be a really good example of a parks and recreation colliding. Like, it's like split yeah. down the middle. We've got, you know, we've got
exactly.
this beautiful natural area. We have tons of volunteers, but it's a park that it's a natural area and a park has to be maintained. And, you know, because of the fact that the Nature Center isn't doing a lot of programming right now with the school programs and things like that, we have had to, the staff there, including Libby and Jen, have had to step up to help manage the park.
Right.
Manage the maintenance of the park. And we do get support. We do get support from the park's maintenance crew and staff. We had a work party there about last week with the entire parks crew, not entire, but most of the parks crew and recreation. But it's a lot to get done. It's a lot to get done.
The other thing that's a real hybrid is the volunteer program, because the volunteers are people, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
However, they're working to benefit the land almost
Absolutely.
Always. And there's no way around that overlap. It is just going to always be an overlap.
Mm-hmm.
No, so I think overlaps, integration is like super, super important. I don't think in my mind, it's not really the way that it looks in these squares, because the relationships are so integrated with, you know, the education and the knowledge of people at North Mountain Park, and, you know, what they impart to the community, and are able to work with parks to, and I would think influence, to figure out how to have input on the management of it, because the perspectives are kind of different.
Right.
But, you know, each perspective is critical for being a good steward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
agreed.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, absolutely. Rachel, can you scroll up? Who else do we have? What else do we have on here besides
yeah,
the golf course?
We have the golf course here, which is Patrick Orapollo is the golf course manager and temps. So any temps that are utilized in the clubhouse operations, mostly in the summer. There is a little bit of use in the winter, but he ramps up in the summertime because they are open about 10 to 12 hours a day there in the summer. And then over here you have the senior services. So the senior services superintendent, Eileen Glatt, and then the adult and senior services coordinator, Natalie Mettler, and then a 0.75 office assistant, which actually Corey Reed's not here anymore, but there's another person filling that position right now.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. Why is that in a green box?
So yeah. If you look above, you see Michael, actually
okay.
Director Black
yes.
still supervises the senior services division.
Yes.
And then anything that's in pink or cream is
okay.
kind of a shared, pink is what I supervise, and green
okay.
is what Michael supervises.
So
that's
should we be advising on senior services as well then, or are we just looking at the other kinds of
The Senior Services Division has the Senior Services Advisory Committee, which is similar to RDAC. And so they have their own committee and they meet monthly.
And what about the community garden?
The community gardens?
Yeah.
The community gardens are part of the Nature Center. And so they're within that realm as well. And I guess one more thing I might mention, I know that we're short on time, but I do want to mention that the budget, sorry, my phone alarm's going off. The budgets for each of those, so there's a parks operations budget for park maintenance. And then within that park maintenance budget, there's also a budget for the open space and forestry and things like that Jason Minica oversees, which is what we were talking about over here, the open space and outer parks. So there's a big park maintenance budget that is split out. We also have the Recreation Division budget, which includes the Nature Center, the ice rink, the pool, the Grove, facility rentals, park rentals, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And then the golf course has their own budget. So the golf course does have their own budget, and that includes not only clubhouse operations, but it also includes the actual maintenance that's done at the golf course. So that's all included in one budget.
Hmm. So is our committee also involved in what goes on at the golf course, or are we mostly focused on the Grove and Nature
mostly
Center?
The Grove. The golf course has the golf course has its own subcommittee as well. The golf course subcommittee. Yeah, Risa.
We're just Guanajuato Way come in.
Guanajuato Way is part of this committee. Guanajuato Way is part of that's part of the Recreation Division. So that's something that I oversee. Is all of the lease agreements with the restaurants and the artisans that have space on the Calle. So yes, that is part of the Recreation Division.
And the Community Center and Pioneer Hall, I presume.
Community Center and Pioneer Hall are managed by Parks and Recreation, but the city ultimately has, the city is actually owns those buildings. So they're managed by Parks and Recreation, but the city owns the buildings.
Mm-hmm. Does the city give parks money to do that?
No. They do not.
Interesting.
Jim, do you want to say something about that?
Yeah, I think we shouldn't get too hung up in the divisions. If we have ideas of recreation for any of these, we just have to go through the proper procedure. You go to the right subcommittee or the senior center advisory board, because then they can make a decision whether our idea flies or not. So let's not try to restrict ourselves too much. Let's be much more open, because there's a whole thing about, there's a group of meetings coming up about the mountain biking trails up in the open space. And so that to me is a capital R on recreation. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's going to be, they're going to be recommending things. So anytime we have ideas that we feel are valid and we vote in an agreement, then it just moves on to the proper procedure. And if it gets shot down, that's just the way the system works. But at least we don't want to inhibit ourselves too much right off the bat. It's my hope, I guess.
Yeah. And thanks for correcting me on that, Jim. I was just thinking about as far as just like the process, but yes, obviously, you know, if you all have ideas as, you know, citizen members of on this committee, please, you know, let us know. We're happy to vet that through this committee and pass it on. And definitely. So
I think we're getting close to need to move on to the next item.
Okay.
That's okay. Which is the updates. Rachel, I think you get to go first.
Yeah, actually, I'm gonna defer. I'm gonna let Lonnie go first for recreation.
Okay, I'll try to make it brief. And this is the time of the year that we're looking at freezing a sheet of ice for people to go ice skating. So we have the large canopy up over the ice rink parking lot now. the operations trailer. My understanding is that that's been put in place. So we're getting all the pieces and parts put together to have the facility there. We are in the middle of hiring right now for temporary employees. The rink will be managed by Sherry Akins, who is a temporary seasonal employee who worked at the pool, works out at the golf course to help out there, and will be returning to the rink. So we're working to get our staff outlined. It has been a challenge to find enough staff to do a full schedule. So we're continuing to work on that. November will probably be some limited scheduling to open. We will look at November 20th being our first day of being open. Primarily, the recreation skating sessions are scheduled to occur Thursday through Sunday between the hours of 4 to 9 p.m. We do hope to have some instructional programs going with some great instructors that we have in returning Monday through Wednesday. Also some adult hockey happening on the mornings of Saturday and Sunday. As we get more staff and we can fill out where we need people at all times during the day, hopefully we can have a more robust schedule, especially for the holiday season. The holiday break is really the big time of year where we pull in a lot of our revenue for the season. It's a very popular time there. And beyond that, I just did want to mention last week we were virtually in a conference for the Oregon Recreation and Park Association, which occurs every year. And I was lucky to collaborate with Rogue World Music. Val Rogers here in our meeting was one of the important presenters. Also, Anna Byers. We worked on presenting the history and the outcomes of the Ashland World Music Festival. The session, the breakout educational session, was titled Event Planning with Cultural Competency. We presented on how the festival developed, how our partnership between Parks and Recreation and Rogue World Music allowed us to play to our individual strengths to develop the festival, making it more of a more authentic representation of world cultures. And I won't go into too many details, but you know, Val did a lot of work on grant writing to support a visioning process that allowed us to move things forward. And then with COVID and also the Alameda fire, how we were able to be agile and be able to kind of pivot and still present valuable cultural based events in a virtual format, and also with the sound walks to provide the community with those enriching resources. And that the World Music Festival, in two instances now, I believe, Val, you can correct me if I'm wrong,
right.
Become a fundraiser for some of the people impacted by the Alameda fire. So lots of positives, and we were happy to present on that to share with the rest of the Parks and Recreation agencies throughout the state. So
it was well attended. Our session was well attended. And much
I noticed, and I did compare it with a few other sessions, that we got a pretty good rating on it too.
Great. So, that's great, Lonnie.
Positive feedback on that. So with that, Rachel, unless I'm missing something, I'm going to turn it back over to Libby or yourself.
Can you mention really quickly the meeting? I know you don't have to say a lot about it, but the meeting that you have next week with Southern Oregon Aquatic Community, Rebecca Kay, and the school district.
Mm-hmm. Rebecca Kay is the, I believe it's the title is president of the Southern Oregon Aquatic Community.
Yeah.
She and her group have worked on, they've completed a survey through the school district to get an idea of the swim skill ability of fifth, sixth grade age students in the district. And the goal is to develop a program during the school year where classrooms would come to the Daniel Meyer Pool to take swim lessons as part of their school curriculum. So next week, Rebecca and I will be meeting with the superintendent of the school district to take the next steps and seeing if we can start a pilot program where potentially Walker students during the school year in the future, part of their school day would be coming over to the pool and us providing swim lesson instructors and swim lesson instruction for entire classrooms. So more info to come on that.
Risa?
Yeah, Lonnie, could you give us an update on the current status of the Daniel Meyer Pool, the current and future?
It's still there. I think the water is being heated. Masters is now using the pool on their off-season contract. I believe swim teams are scheduled to be in there, if not in there already.
They start on around the 15th of November. So Phoenix High School, Ashland High School, and Rogue Valley Masters will all be using it again. Well, like Rogue Valley Masters is using it right now, but they'll continue to use it through the winter. And everything seems to be operating okay. It's, you know, we just had to do some replacement boiler situation recently. But it's
well, the floor of the pool, you know, I just remember before it closed in the summer, when you stood on it, it actually moved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. We have still been experiencing, as you have mentioned, the bubbling up and the lifting of the pool surfacing, which is, it's playing whack-a-mole, but Rick Deckelman is been very positive about a new product that he has been able to apply with water in the pool to patch those areas and keep it firmed up. So whenever a bubble comes up, basically we got to pop that blister and we put down the new epoxy type material that cures underwater. It seems to be working well. I think it's kind of an eyesore from what I understand, but just keeping the pool liner intact for the time being is a big win for us, for everyone.
And as far as the process with the pool, potential for a new pool, if that's still in process right now, the Parks Commission met a few months, maybe last month, and discussed taking it back to the consultants to look at some of the some scope related to solar energy and things like that. So I know Director Black is working with the consultants to see actually what we'll be able to do to bring back to the Parks Commission. So we don't know at this point. At this point, we don't have money for a new pool, but we're still moving ahead with at least the planning portion right now. So, I mean, we do realize that our pool is aging with 30 plus years old. And at some point, you know, we can make all the little fixes we want, but we just keep crossing our fingers and hoping that it stays together. So
a local business person that's a friend of mine, he's shown me how many grants are available in this country for building a pool. And basically what I said to him is put together the list and maybe I can get, you know, some ears from Parks Commissioner or two, just sit down and talk about it.
Absolutely.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Before we get to that, we are looking at, we have grants in mind, but we have to have a design first. Before you can go out for a grant, you have to have a design and a plan.
Got it. Okay.
Once we have a design and a plan, we can definitely, we'll definitely be looking at grants, and we already have looked at grants. So
okay.
Yeah, if you see any, definitely send them our way, because we may not be aware of all of them, obviously. So.
And that's actually, when we get to working groups, I'd like to get back to that, Risa.
Absolutely.
Great. Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Lonnie.
I'm going to toss it over to Libby now, the Nature Center manager.
Okay, hello, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. Hi, Libby.
Hi. So quite a few different updates for you, kind of a grab bag. We ran two service learning programs out here this week, and that was amazing. It had been a long time since we had worked directly with students, and particularly the group we had today were bilingual students from Gold Hill Hanby Middle School, and that was a really powerful experience for everyone. Our educators, they're all volunteers, and by the end of it, when we were debriefing, we were all like moved to tears by the by the experience of being able to work with students again and kids who haven't really been out to this park before. But the rest of the service learning programs we had booked for the season have canceled for a variety of different reasons, but we're hopeful for spring because our volunteers are chomping at the bit to educate. What we still have going is an arrangement with John Muir School to maintain and monitor the BlackBerry study plots, which, if you recall, is a way that I'm turning that large-scale BlackBerry removal impact into a citizen science project, which they will be coming out in the next couple weeks to monitor their sites for the first time. And I have had trouble finding time in my schedule to take all of the photo point monitoring that I set up initially. So if you know anybody who likes taking photo points, I definitely need help with that. Let's see, Jen has been managing the park amazingly well as we go into fall, putting the gardens to bed and maintaining two weekly work parties. In addition to the two weekly citizen work parties, we also had a big all staff work party out here where we were able to make a lot of strides on some, I guess you'd say it was kind of deferred maintenance. It was a lot of work that needed to be done out at the park. And so we had a good solid half day with a lot of people working, and Jen and I were directing those crews, mostly Jen, but I was working with some teams on invasive removal, and Jen was working on pruning and debris removal, and a lot of dead woody debris that had died in the drought needed to be removed. Let's see, I wanted to do a short hit on our community programs. We have 15 programs booked for this winter spring season. And most of those are low cost. We're partnering with Rogue Valley Audubon for Project Feeder Watch, which is our standard winter citizen science program. We're also partnering with Jackson County Library and the Fire Department and Ashland Forest Resiliency to offer some great programming. And Risa knows I'm interested in reaching out to the Conservation and Climate Conservation Commission. Mm. Are you calling yourselves the Conservation and Climate
CCFC,
got
the Ashland, the Conservation and Climate Outreach Commission. I'm sorry.
Perfect. And I would like to partner with you all to get some programs from your commission offered through the Nature Center, or partner in whatever way we can to help you do that.
So could I suggest that you sign, you know, come to an upcoming commission meeting and you know, on Zoom, and you can talk to the group about what you're thinking.
Let's set that up. If you know how to get on that agenda, send me an email.
I do.
That would be awesome. And also, I think partnering is the wave of the future. So I'm also connecting with SOU's Center for Gender, Sexuality, and Justice. And we're trying to create programming opportunities through them for marginalized youth. Let's see.
Shoot for December, because we have someone coming in November.
That sounds good. Excellent. That should be in plenty of time to put together programming proposals for late spring and summer, if we meet with them in December.
Okay, just shoot me an email. I'll work on it.
Okay. I'm also working with ORPA's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion group. We presented at conference just like Lonnie and Val did. And we are offering DEI trainings, DEI exchange discussions, and now a quarterly speaker series through Oregon Parks and Recreation. I'm offering some professional development to teachers, partnering with Southern Oregon Land Conservancy and the BLM to offer a full-day nature journaling workshop on Monday for classroom teachers. If the city does open its doors, we're ready to open with me kind of covering the front counter here at the Nature Center. And the last thing I wanted to throw out there is that we've had to work a lot with APD lately. I've put in a lot of calls to the police because there's just a lot of people doing some weird stuff out here. Camping, smoking out, stealing stuff, picking fights with us. And I, as soon as I'm done here, I'm going to have to go check on something. While I was starting this call, someone knocked on the window and said, did you know that there's somebody hauling sand from your sandbox down to the creek and pouring it out on the bank? And I said, no, I did not know that. So when I'm done debriefing you all about what we're doing, I'm going to go see whether or not that's something I have to call APD about.
Good grief.
Yeah, does anyone have any questions about the Nature Center?
That's a good word.
Yeah, I don't really have a question. I continue to be impressed with everything you're doing and accomplishing there. And it occurs to me that the public really needs to understand a whole lot better what kind of a hub the Nature Center is. It goes far beyond the community of Ashland.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Even though it's relying on this, what I think is probably a measly budget through APRC, it is actually contributing way beyond that boundary to some real core social needs. And
yeah.
So the more I learn about it, the more I feel like there's a public relations capacity limitation maybe that yes. exists. And I'm starting to think about how to solve that.
Val, that's a wonderful piece of feedback because I've been thinking a lot about needing to get a newsletter off the ground. We had a newsletter, but Bridget was the one who did it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just don't know if I have the bandwidth to pull that into my workload, but right. There's a lot of possibility there. And aside from having glorious pictures of students of traditionally marginalized identities who don't utilize public lands,
right.
actually out there with binoculars identifying birds, I don't think there's anything more persuasive than that. I just need to find a way to get that out.
Right, exactly. And no, you don't have the bandwidth. I don't think that's the solution. Mm-hmm. I think the solution is along the lines of more partnerships and maybe even pro bono work on the part mm-hmm. of public relations professionals, which I may be able to access some of that.
Wow. Well, I throw it out to this group because I was just bemoaning the lack of a newsletter just the other day. So I think, if anyone would like to connect with me off the line of this meeting and try to figure out how we can share that narrative more effectively with the community, that'd be amazing.
Yeah. Okay.
Leslie? Oh, sorry, Corey.
I can't see everybody all at the same time. So if there's somebody raising their hand, I can't see.
Mm-hmm. Was someone waiting for me? Or
no,
I don't know if Libby, I don't know if this is a help or a hindrance, but you know, I've got undergrads and classes that I would like to bring, and especially for the photo identification or the photo monitoring that you want to do, I think I have a team that could do that over the course of a week. So I'm going to send you an email, but the other thing I was, I also think that for the newsletter, I wonder if I could connect you with you probably are connected with the Environmental Ed Master's Program. I wonder if that's something that they would want to or be able to produce, because they were instrumental in creating educational signage for Mount Ashland. Mm-hmm. And they, that particular cohort, that's sort of the type of project that they seek out. So if you'd like me to connect you with Ariel, who's the new, maybe you already are, that
Absolutely.
Might be something they're interested in taking on. Or
I am connected with them. The SOU students in EE, in the EE graduate program, were just out here the other day doing a public program with our community programs all about blackberries, and they did some service with the community, and they did an educational program, and I was here for it, and we worked together.
Man, I wonder if they could write your newsletter.
I wonder. I hadn't thought about that, because I'm always interested in plugging those students into direct education, because I know that a lot of the EE grad students are interested in direct one-on-one outdoor hands-on ed, which I don't have as much of anymore, but a newsletter is an avenue of education that I hadn't considered offering to that group.
There is a precedent for it. And they went into all the like aesthetic and how to design educational pamphlets and all this stuff. Like they work on that. So I'd be happy to try to help that shepherd that along if you're interested, but just an idea.
So let me interject something here quickly. Rachel, did you also want to give a report? Because we're running kind of low on time.
I'm just going to mention one quick thing. That's it. So
I'm done.
Because I'm thinking,
I'll email you, Libby.
I'm thinking about would probably be the right thing to do is if we have several people here. Actually, let's talk about the working groups. I'm thinking it might be appropriate to set up a working group to coordinate getting a newsletter going. And so we could make a little working group. If several of you said you had contacts, maybe we can set that up as you are a little working group and you're going to discuss this and try to solve that problem.
Sure. And not to confuse with the two working groups that Lonnie and Rachel have kind of figured out to spearhead the goals of the RDAC committee specifically in terms of finding out what the community needs. But if anybody wants to work with me on the side in a sub working group where we just shared some emails about it, that would be lovely.
Okay, so let's jump into that in a minute. But Rachel, you want to give your report that you want to dump in?
I was just going to mention that the Parks Commission is having a study session next Wednesday night. That would be November 3rd. And I think it's at 6 p.m. I'm going to forward out the agenda to all of you, the RDAC committee. They're going to be discussing, budget and kind of next steps for potential of the formation of a district. So it's going to be recorded. So if you can't watch it, that's fine. I'll forward out the agenda and the memo that Director Black put together. It just went out today. It's also going to be on the website as well. So if you're interested in watching, all you have to do is sign up as an attendee to watch, or it'll be recorded and you can watch it later. So,
okay. Is this something you think it would be good for us to be informed about?
I think eventually it'll be good for you to be informed. Yes, it will be good for you to be informed about it. So that's why I'm going to forward out after we meet today. I'll forward that out to all of you.
Okay. So I'd like to spend another 10 minutes or so talking about working groups and then another 10 minutes or so talking about the play guide since we're getting close to the end of our time.
Okay.
Lonnie and Rachel, you had ideas about working groups. I had some ideas about working groups, which was some of the things that have come up in our discussion so far are some ideas that I think it'd be worth exploring. And what I'd like to see is that we'd have one or two topics discussed at each meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And then people who are interested in that topic can go off and check into it some more, report back and get feedback. And I had just made some notes on some of the topics that had come up. And then I guess Lonnie and Rachel also had some topics they were interested in. Mm-hmm. But a perfect one would be a bunch of you who are interested in newsletter and coordinating photos and stuff like that. If someone wants to if you guys want to make a working group that would then work with Libby and help out with that, I think that would be very appropriate. Some of the other ones that have come up have been, we sort of identified that we've got two different groups. We've got people who are participants in recreation programs, and maybe we want to find out from people who are participants if they have roadblocks, things that would be make their experience better. I was thinking of Risa with her with the swimming pool, talking to the master swimmers. The table tennis group used to be really active, no place right now, but pickleball, things like that. So people who are participants already. Then we had another group of people who are not participating. Mm-hmm. And if somebody was interested in contacting BASE or some of the other groups, people who we don't feel are regular participants,
to try to find out why they don't participate, if there would be a way, if we ended up with kind of an a la carte option like Lonnie was talking about, where external programs could be listed in the guide, if we ever go that route, if they would even be interested in doing something like that. So if there's a group who would be interested in something like that, I'm personally interested in that a la carte option and different ways to expand Parks and Rec's facilities by bringing in outside groups, you know, by listing things that are done by other groups in the community. And a couple others on here, I think. Another one was how to select classes and instructors, kind of pre-vet them before putting them in the guide. And then also what I'm hoping we're going to talk about today, which is what the new play guide is going to look like, because we're reducing the play guide. So I didn't know if, and then Rachel and Lonnie, you had some other ideas of things you thought would be helpful.
Yeah, so what Libby and Lonnie and I met and talked about, you know, we've been talking all along about what does the community want from the Recreation Division and Parks and Recreation in the form of recreation. So doing a needs assessment has always been at the top, you know, top forefront of our list, so we can help kind of guide what we should be doing in recreation. So basically what we wanted to do is put together two working groups, a quantitative working group and a qualitative. And the quantitative group would research and develop a scientific community needs assessment for recreation. So they kind of like be more behind the scenes researching, coming up with questions. And then the qualitative group will plan and execute ways to obtain the feedback from the community. So we'd have two smaller groups working on those two things to be able to get feedback from the community on what, you know, on a needs assessment and how the needs assessment should work. And you know, Lonnie did a lot of work in on this with the pool ad hoc committee when we put together the pool plan. So so Lonnie is going to work with the quantitative group, and Libby's going to work with the qualitative group. And then they're going to kind of back each other up as well. And then I'll be helping as well. So That's what we wanted to talk about today. And it sounds like there's all these other groups that we can definitely to work on as well. But the needs assessment was something that was really important to address, you know, as far as figuring out where Recreation Division should be going into the future. Libby?
So are you talking about putting together some kind of survey, or what does that look like?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the needs assessment would be a survey. Libby, do you want to interject?
Yeah, I was just kind of finding some similar threads in what Corey was saying and to what you're saying, Rachel, because if we need to find out the needs and the utility of our programming from a variety of different user groups, those who are currently using our programming and those who are not, like Corey was saying, two ways of getting at that information is through targeted surveying, which produces quantitative data about what people want and how they would value rank the different things that we offer. And another way of getting at that data is to get everybody into rooms for like listening sessions and collaborative brainstorming and discuss and large discussions, either over Zoom or in the Grove. And so because I really like working with people in a room and doing active, you know, education game playing that'll allow people to share their thoughts, that's why I was offered to be on the more qualitative area.
I'm a little bit devil's advocate here. In my personal experience, if you do a survey like that, you get a lot of information from people who say, well, I would participate if you did this. So as a dance instructor, well, I'm not taking dance lessons, but if you taught Lindy Hop, then I would participate. And then I teach Lindy Hop and they don't show up.
Mm-hmm.
So my experience with surveys and stuff like that is it's kind of eh. So I would lean a little bit more towards Risa, go talk to those master swimmers and find out what they need.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just interject, I feel like part of what made the pool ad hoc so effective is that we did both. We created a survey that went out to X number of people. We got a pretty good response back. And then we also hosted listening sessions. So it spoke to, you know, different personalities, different people in the community. And I feel like together doing both of those the result gave us some pretty darn good information about what this community wants around a future pool. So I would lean toward not just one variable or however the language goes.
And I hear what you're saying, Corey, about the utility of the information that comes from a survey. And I think sometimes it depends on the type of questions that you're asking, because if you ask them, like, what would it take to get you to sign up for a dance class? And they say, if it was the Lindy Hop, I would sign up. That's kind of narrow. But what I'd like to see from the community is, where do you rank health and well-being versus sustainability of our communities versus educating kids and improving graduation rates? And where do you want to see recreation putting our attention and our funds? You know, maybe like sort of a ranking system when it comes to the different goals to allow us to kind of focus where the community wants to see the most effort.
I think Lonnie had something really quick as well.
Yeah, I thought it'd be worth adding too. We have a great partner with Eva Skuratovich at SOU, who is, it's escaping me, but SOU has its own research department that focuses on surveying. She is interested and willing to help us out and has helped us out in the past to develop surveys that that are, I guess, more scientific in nature, that really capture the whole rather than just the special interests. So I wanted to mention that real quick. Also, I thought it'd be worth just mentioning a needs assessment doesn't boil down to just a survey. Or just a few community meetings. It's kind of a trying to develop an entire picture of the community and what the needs and wants are, using all these different pieces such as surveying, public meetings, dotocracy, and all the other pieces and parts to expand our field of vision as to where the community's at, where there are gaps, who isn't getting served. And again, this work, you know, in the working groups is where, you know, the nuts and bolts really get hashed out. And from the pool ad hoc committee experience, Risa, you'll probably back me up on this, that I think it would be worth a separate, you know, community engagement group, because that was a big project, and also a separate kind of scientific study survey research based group, because that is also a lot of work. But anyways, I just wanted to kind of clarify those few points.
Okay, so if I'm reading it correctly, then we're going to have two working groups and not going to look at the things that I mentioned aren't really what you're interested in. Is that how I'm reading that? So the kind of input, my image of what kind of input we would be giving doesn't match with what you're asking for. You're asking for these two working groups, and that's what you want. Is that accurate?
I guess what I'll say is really the committee here decides the course of action.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of our recommendation based on the prior conversations that we've had about developing a needs assessment, and for us to just get a clearer picture of the entire community's needs. So going off of that, but that's not to say that any other working group projects couldn't be also, you know, decided on by the committee. So
yeah, Risa.
Well, I think it's a good launching point, because I think that doing a general needs assessment, it affects all the other ideas that we have brought forth that are connected to it. I think that it to me, it seems like it's a good launching place. It's a place, it's a beginning. It's not, I think it will help to inform us with our efforts and interests with the other group ideas that have come forth.
I agree with you, Risa. And I also think it's a prime opportunity to inform the community about the full scope of what particularly recreation, I think, is not well understood. And the whole question about to what degree should the City Recreation Division provide programming through partnering with other entities is a really good question to have on the table as part of a needs assessment. And it would be helpful to set the context for that by showing what degree of partnering is happening already, particularly at the Nature Center and elsewhere, because I mean, people need that context, I feel, to provide really considered input in a needs assessment process, unless they're just speaking from personal interest alone. So I just want to put in another plug for taking this opportunity to tell the story in a comprehensive and effective way about the Recreation Department, what it really does to serve the community currently, what its constraints are, and what some possible directions could be, not specifics, just directions for relieving some of those constraints.
So you're seeing this also as kind of a PR, not just a gathering of information, but also explaining to people what all is involved. So a little bit of PR involved.
PR or public education, actually sharing really pertinent information about the current realities.
Okay. So then I guess the thing to do if we're going to try to get these working groups going is to see who would be interested in, so we've got one is quantitative, one is qualitative being the survey, qualitative being meeting with people. Is that where we're at?
I'm just setting the groundwork. Yeah, setting the groundwork for both of those things. And I just want to say that I know that we know y'all are busy and we're not expecting everyone to step up. But if we even had, one or two people in each of the groups to help kind of guide, work with staff on a plan, I think that would be really helpful. And then the goal would be to bring those groups back to each of the RDAC meetings for reporting and information and direction. Libby.
Yeah, and I think that one thing to say is that because they would be formal working groups, they would be on the agenda every time we have one of these public meetings and we would check back in about them. Mm-hmm. And I think that some of the other things that we'd like to do may or may not be happening in a formal way. Like if anybody wants to help me put a newsletter out, it doesn't have to necessarily be stamped with the bylaws definition of a working group and then checked in formally in a public meeting.
Right.
But I think that some of the things that Corey listed at the very beginning of this section are really important. Some of them I'm still trying to kind of sort through what was said, but some of them I think roll in nicely with the existing plan for two working groups. And some of them could be independent stuff that staff runs with and tries to kind of sort out with you all one-on-one. And I'm hoping that we could do all the things that Corey listed initially too. Mm-hmm. And that some of them might happen as a matter of course in the two formal working groups and could get brought into that, but also could be like, let's go through that list again when we're done, Corey, send it to me and I'll see if there's any of those things that I can help with.
Okay, I'm actually wondering if it would be useful. So I would be willing to sign up for qualitative. People want to, because that's more interesting to me than the quantitative stuff.
Okay, so while we're figuring that out, it looks like Leslie had her hand up and then.
Okay. Sorry, I can't see everybody all the same time.
Okay, I'm helping.
No problem. Maybe this is the point of a needs assessment, but it seems to me that the hardcore users of the parks and open space have already mobilized and been telling us what they need and want for years and years and begging for the things that they say they need. So, I mean, I understand that those are the loudest voices and they're the squeaky wheels. Sometimes when I hear about making more plans, I get a little bit like, okay, we're going to spin our wheels a little longer when we actually really know what some of the needs are because we've had our community telling us for so long. So I'm just kind of emoting here.
That's a little bit what I'm, I kind of feel like we have representatives from so many different parts of the community here that I think we may have a pretty good sense already. And with a little more investigation, we may be able, without having to do a formal survey or anything like that, it's my feeling that we have representatives from very different, a diverse group of communities, and that we as a committee may already have a pretty good sense of what the needs are.
Now, the DEI goals, that is something that I think we specifically need to focus on and start thinking about, like, who are we not serving that maybe doesn't have, like, the political voice or the ability to mobilize? That I 100% am behind. But I'm not sure about this, like, broad, wide-scoping, open-ended, multi-year, sounds like two-year process to do a needs assessment. I get worried about that kind of thing.
Fair enough.
I would just interject what Leslie said about DEI. I think DEI is a component of the needs assessment, and who are we serving, and are we serving them the right way? And if you're not participating, why aren't you participating? And so I think that's something that we can unfold. I mean, maybe we should just give this a shot and meet once or twice and bring some things back to the RDAC committee and see how y'all feel about it. I want to get to Jim really quick, though, because
Jim's hand was up there.
Yeah, I've been involved in many listening sessions pre-COVID, and I'm not sure how that would work. I'm with Libby. I love getting in a room with people and having back and forth discussion or what their ideas, and also the online survey. As Leslie pointed out, it could be fairly boilerplatey, and somebody's got to come up with the survey, and that could be fairly difficult for somebody to do, or you just have a really loose based survey online on the city site to say, hey, send us an email of what you think, you know, I mean, because like your point on the Corey, the dancing and nobody showed up and stuff. Well, that's kind of what we need, the information, and then we get to filter through all that information and decide what we feel is a really valid thing. And then Leslie's point is, yeah, the hardcore lobbyists are well organized, and we know all those, but we have
and they're going to be the ones that fill out the survey.
They will.
Fill out all the surveys and show up to all the community sessions. I'm sorry, I've had a rough day and I feel a little cynical, but.
No, but we also have a considerable backlog of needs, stuff we already know works. People are not that patient. Archery, table tennis are two that, I mean, the Grove is killing us with that. I've been able to use that. And then I've been talking to, like, George Kramer on the community center. And so if we ever get through this COVID thing, we want to hit the ground running and get all those people who are just waiting not so patiently to get back to doing what they love doing. And then, you know, a loose, fairly simple survey maybe, and any kind of listening session we can have, I'd be happy to be part of that too. But I don't see the big formal heavy stuff, because we talked about mailing stuff out because we want to be so inclusive that only people who can use computers will get to say things. But to be realistic, we just can't do that. You know, we can't mail to everybody in town and get responses that way. It's just, there's no budget for that. So we have to do it on the fly and try to get some information, but that's all kind of, and that's the reason I think that I signed up for this group, is because to move towards the new things that maybe people hadn't considered. And Libby's already got a lot of good ideas on that already, as far as being more inclusive, and there's always a room to be more inclusive, and sometimes that's pretty easy thing to do. It isn't a big budget item. It's just notifying people who would like to be part of some recreation. So anyway,
Libby, did you want to jump in there? We're running close to being out of time. Did you want to jump in there with something?
It sounds to me, just to kind of synthesize what I'm hearing, that we've we've got a few different ideas about the direction that we might take. And maybe it's a little too early to say these are the two working groups that we want to do. As much as that might have made sense to staff when we were conceptualizing it, it sounds like there's a few different opinions. And what I am hearing bubbling to the top, though, is a need to get the educational message out about what we do, right? So the building that narrative and communicating that to the public was one of the side goals of the needs assessment. We know we need to do that. I'm also hearing that what the needs assessment could do, one of the most important elements of it, would be to generate dialogue and feedback with communities that do not utilize what we have to offer for whatever reason, whether their access is excluded for some reason, whether they're culturally excluded for some reason, whether we're not meeting their needs exactly the way that they would need to. And maybe that DEI goal might have a different way of being reached than just a blanket needs assessment. But I am hearing those two goals kind of continue to come up, and there maybe we need to creatively come up with different ways of finding, of meeting that DEI goal of bringing more voices to the table and hearing what sectors of the community that are not, we know what the sectors of the community that are engaged and active and squeaky mm-hmm. wheels, we know what they want because they know how to use the system. They know how to come to us and tell us what they want. So maybe the DEI goal is to figure out a way to get to them. And whether that be a survey, I don't know, but maybe that's something we need to continue to explore.
So I've got a suggestion here, which is that, so we need a plan for next time, right? And as a topic for next time, I'm thinking it might be useful. I don't know if it's kosher to do this, but I can say, hey, I've got some experience in X, and I'd be happy to advise or have a conversation with a staff person on X. Even if it's not a formal working group, but then also say, yes, I'm interested in doing the quantitative stuff. If we just spend like a minute per person, go through and say what we're interested in, is that a kosher thing to do? Yes?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So for example, I'm very interested in the a la carte option and the play guide because I've got a lot of experience Central Parks, Parks and Rec, Central Point Parks and Rec, Medford Parks and Rec, Ashland Parks and Rec, been involved with them for many, many years, seen all different ways to do things. So I'd be really interested in talking about the a la carte option, the value of the play guide and what people see is really important. And then I'd also be willing to do some kind of personal outreach to try to do the kind of the quantitative stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at. Risa, what are you interested in?
Daniel Meyer Pool and the future stewardship of parks and support of North Mountain Park.
Jim, do you want to jump in there?
Yeah, I'm kind of at a loss for it. I'll think about it and I'll let you know. Yeah.
Leslie, what interests you?
Are we talking about which working groups we want to be in, or
not necessarily working groups, but just being, you know, if somebody from Parks is working on something and is looking for some input, but then also if we're looking at the quantitative or qualitative working group, does either of those interest you?
I've never been a part of a listening session, and I think that would be a great experience. So if that's the qualitative aspect, that's something that I'd be interested that I'm not. In currently involved in that I'd like to be.
Okay. And then also a newsletter, you think you might be a good contact person for newsletter stuff?
I mean, I don't think that is necessary. That's not something that I have time to get involved with, but I'm happy to connect people. And I think Libby already is connected with the folks that we were talking to.
Okay. So that's what I meant though, that you, not that you would be doing the newsletter, but that you know some folks and you can connect about that.
It's done. They're connected.
Okay, good. All right. And Val?
I'm interested in several things, one of which is the a la carte option, because I think that has potential in the direction of DEI with being able to perhaps get connected with cultural minorities here locally who are providing their own sort of recreational programs. That's one thing. I'm definitely interested in the PR thing and some of the analysis that might need to be done to really describe what the department is accomplishing and how it's accomplishing that, particularly determining the in-kind value of the volunteer services and the educational services and a lot of things like that. Mm-hmm. As far as the working groups, I really don't have any experience with like survey design. So probably the qualitative end of it would be more where I would fall.
So it sounds like we might be able to get a working group put together for qualitative.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can get a qualitative group put together and then possibly also, so we've got a couple of us interested in the a la carte stuff. Would that be useful?
Mm-hmm.
You can throw me into the listening session thing.
Okay.
We have to make sure we don't have, you know, we don't break any quorum laws or anything. So, I kind of feel like maybe my opinion, my recommendation would be maybe we start with a qualitative group and see where that goes with, you know, people being interested in PR and the a la carte, you know, building a narrative, and let's start there with just the qualitative piece and see where that goes. You know, maybe it's not a survey and that's okay. But let's just get going with the qualitative and see where that goes.
Okay. So Libby, you're coordinating that and you'll just contact whoever said they were interested. Is that how that works?
I've got notes and Lonnie and Libby and I will put our heads together again and figure out how that's all going to work now and get back to those that are interested.
Okay. And then we just need to make sure we're good for our meeting December 9th at from 4 to 5:30.
Yeah, I just threw that date out there because I figured it's early in December and before the holidays get too ramped up with people. And I thought maybe that would work.
Did you say 4 to 5:30 same time as today?
Yeah, same time.
Thursday, 4 to 5:30.
It's not good for me. I'm so sorry. We have our annual fundraiser that night.
Okay.
FLC meeting follows it exactly, so I'd be on Zoom for three and a half hours, something.
Okay.
What about the 8th? What about the day before on the Wednesday?
Thursday.
That's a commission meeting, I think.
I teach every day but Thursday.
Okay.
So I can do the 2nd or the 16th.
What about December 2nd? Jim?
December. Oh my gosh. Okay.
I got a question about the winter spring play guide as far as where
we'll send out a doodle poll for the next meeting. How about that?
Yeah. And so the winter spring play guide, what's the status on that right now? Is it still in the works or is it in the put to bed or what?
No, the winter spring program guide, we're working on it right now. And it should be out right after Christmas, so between Christmas and New Year's, and we are going to be mailing the guide. We're cutting down the amount of pages to 24 pages instead of the usual, I think, 36. So we are reducing our costs, but we feel like it's really important to mail something out to the public. That's kind of where we're at right now. And it will also be a digital guide, so people will be able to.
And I guess if there's a paragraph room in there to just throw out this survey, just not a technical survey, but hey, give us your ideas. Please send us your ideas, email us, mail it, whatever. Just it's a chance to, and PR too. I don't know if there's going to be a director's report or something like that.
Yeah.
But hey, if we can get a little section of that, I don't know, anywhere we can sneak something in to get the word out, especially if it's getting mailed.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great opportunity. It doesn't have to be a lot. It's just just a chance to get to everybody's mailbox is key. And, you know, I don't know. Like I say, I'm sure you've already probably condensed this thing down pretty heavily. But
we will have a director's message. But if there's some way to put something else in there, we definitely will. So.
So we're going to schedule offline here.
We'll send out a doodle poll next week to people. There's two things we didn't get to today. the reduction of the winter spring play guide, and we're going to have a discussion about that, about what you all as citizens in this community think is important in the play guide,
which was sort of a timely thing, but time has gone and time has passed, so I think we're,
if you want to, if you have spare time and you want to send send Libby and Lonnie and I like things that are important to you in the play guide, things that you know, we do kind of have an outline already for going into winter spring, but we'd love to hear from you as a citizen what you think is important to include in the play guide. So if you can email that to us, that would be great. And then the recruitment of the RDAC member, well, that'll just have to hold until December, so, which is fine.
So. But it's okay if we run into somebody who we think would be an awesome person to have on this committee, then
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let them know.
Yeah. Well, we can get the recruitment ready. It might be good to start recruiting in December into January in the new year too.
Okay. So let's make sure that's on the agenda for next time, right?
Perfect. Yep.
Okay. Sounds good. We done then?
So meeting adjourned at what time is it?
5:29.
Okay.
All right. Corey, good job.
Really awesome job, Corey.
Yeah, good work.
Really great.
Yeah. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye. Bye.